This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Wayne Horvitz. This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Very pleased to welcome to the studio Wayne Horvitz. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Great to have you in the studio. Your name has been on my radar for a number of years to try to connect with for an interview, and I appreciate you making the time to join us and talk shop with us. As I said earlier today, I know your schedule's pretty crammed as we are recording this in early October 2018. Got a string of dates going on throughout the state in, as our friend Naomi Siegel would say, intentional listening rooms,
right?
which we always appreciate. WayneHorovitz.com is the name of the website, a very thorough website,
and very much
a composer's website, too. I enjoyed that, just finding access to scores and to specific notes and specific projects and so forth. Pianist and composer, he has multiple projects, and we'll try to be concise in talking about some of them because there's so many. And I'm going to try to just run down through some of these. The Gravitas Quartet, Sweeter Than the Day, Zony Mash, the 4+1 Ensemble, and co-founder of the New York Composers Orchestra. Some of the people he has collaborated with include Bill Frisell, John Zorn, Robin Holcomb, Michael Shreve. That's the drummer from Santana.
From Santana, in the movie at Woodstock, that famous moment caught my attention.
Yeah. and Carla Bley, among others. And commissions have included works with the NEA, Meet the Composer, Kronos String Quartet, who's been a guest on our program, Seattle Chamber Players, and many others. He's written for theater, dance, film, and television. And somehow, I don't know how I missed this, Tales from the Far Side.
Yeah, that was a Bill Frisell project, actually. And I just produced it. No, I did play a little bit on it. But it was, yeah, it was the second one we did in a studio, but the first one we did in my basement. Gary Larson and Avon Kang and Bill and I and a few other people, the the guy who was doing the animation all crammed in my basement studio. It was pretty funny.
Well, for any listeners who are not familiar, I don't know how you can't be, even if you're younger, because the influence culturally of the Far Side cartoon is still continues to this day.
Yeah. And it was right when he retired from doing cartoons, and he sort of had always wanted to do this. And he was a jazz guitar player.
I did know that.
Jim Hall was supposed to do it, and then Jim was ill, and Jim recommended to have Bill Frisell do it. Uh-huh. And Bill and I are old friends, and we both lived in Seattle, and Gary lives in Seattle.
Yeah, I was aware of that. Wayne, I would use the term a composer's composer when thinking about your work, and it's kind of a hybrid of a musician's musician. But it came to my mind today when I was looking through, doing research and getting a little bit more familiar with all the stuff that you do. Lots of connections to Montana, including the project that's setting music to poems of Richard Hugo, mm-hmm. and as well, one of the most recent recordings is Snow Ghost, or with the Snow Ghost player. How's that?
Well, I'm just calling it the Snow Ghost Trio, but it's just a trio from Seattle. But we went to Whitefish and did it in Snow Ghost Studios, which is an insane state-of-the-art studio in Whitefish.
Where I think I want to start with this is I want to know, because you've been in Seattle for a long time. I know that's not where you're from originally, right?
No, not at all.
You've been there for a big chunk of your creative.
Yeah, now I have. You're right. Since 1990.
So given the wide range of stuff that you do, the wide range of different projects, the different colors and palettes that you use for composition, what would you say is Seattle about your music?
You know, not much. Honestly.
That's fair.
I think West Coast, yes. I mean, and I think it... You know, I was in New York for the first 10 years of my adult career. You know, I moved there just right out of college. And I was born in New York, too, though I didn't really grow up there. My parents were New Yorkers. So that's obviously a huge influence. My parents moved to Arizona briefly when I was very young, and then they moved to California. So I spent basically my childhood in California. I went back to Washington, D.C., where my folks moved, for junior high and high school. I went to college at the University of California in Santa Cruz, moved to New York. So, you know, bi-coastal is, but I think the West, the influence of the West on me as a child, I think could speak to that more than having lived in Seattle. And Seattle has now just become another big city anyway, you know. But, and Western authors, I've always been really attracted to, you know, Wallace Stegner or, you know, and then more recently, Richard Hugo was, you know, that was kind of a, actually, you know, just quickly, the very first thing I did that was Montana connected was I started a project on a James Welch novel, The Heart Song of Charging Elk, who also, you know, was here, and his wife Lois, who still lives here in Missoula, you know, ran the English department here for years. So then they all knew Hugo, and so I had a nice, I met William Kittredge. I mean, I had a nice entree to all these people.
Thank you.
I mentioned a composer as a way to describe you. Let's just dive into composition. And one of the things that, that came across to me in, and give props to Clark Grant at KBMF in Butte. I listened to an interview you did with him. And one of the things that came out in that interview was the concept of, you know, where you put your music in the bins, and that generally you get put in jazz, but as you said, it's jazz, but not jazz. And jazz musicians say, well, it's probably not jazz. So I guess I want to talk to you a little bit about that of, you know, where do you see how you fit stylistically in the world, given all the stuff that you do?
Yeah, yeah. What I joke is that everybody says I'm a jazz musician, except jazz musicians, they say I'm not a jazz musician.
But, yeah, that was what I was getting at.
But,
yeah.
You know, I think first place, you know, I'm very self-taught. I've always said that I would be, I'd have great piano technique if all the time I stayed practicing. Instead, I would get ideas for pieces and pull out my pencil and start to write them, you know. And so, and that's true. I also started late, and you can never really, really be a virtuoso pianist without starting at a fairly early age, you know. You know, you can learn to become a surgeon or a lawyer and not even start until your 20s. And that's in some ways true about being a composer, too, because the athletic part of it isn't involved, you know, the coordination part of it. So I started playing piano in my teens and played a lot of blues and stuff like that. And but I never had the full classical background. But I did start composing, you know, early on. And so my music always involved a fair amount of improvisation, so hence the jazz part of it. Mm-hmm. Also had a lot of influence from the rock bands that I loved in the 60s and 70s, so... And the resources I used in New York City when I started to write for larger ensembles were the people I knew. So that tended to be more trumpet players and horn players than strings. As I got more serious, well, not more serious about it, but as I had more of a track record, I felt more comfortable starting to approach orchestral musicians. But, you know, I just keep making mistakes and learning from them. Simple as that.
This is John Floridis. You're listening to Musician Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with pianist and composer Wayne Horovitz. Wayne, when would you say that you discovered, he puts air quotes around discover, when did you discover composition?
Pretty early on. I mean, I was at an interview to teach at a university a few years ago, and they took me out to lunch, and one of the people on the committee said, well, you know, so how do you define composition? And it was interesting coming from him because he was classical, but there were a lot of jazz people then. And of course, there's a lot of talk now of, is improvisation a form of, you know, is it spontaneous composition? You know, where do you draw the line?
I had a great conversation very early on in doing the show with David Grisman
about
that very thing.
Yeah,
it was
of course,
very interesting.
You know. So I don't know if I agree that it's as easy as people make it sound that, you know, improvisation is spontaneous composition. But I will say this, a lot of things that I compose start out because I find something through improvising and then I decide to codify it. But my answer to how do you define a composer was really simple. I would say a composer is someone who tells other people what to do. I mean, there's not much more than that. I mean, when you're collaborating in a band, that's not so true. When you're the songwriter, you bring in the song, but the drummer makes up their part. So you're the composer to a certain extent. When you're writing for symphony orchestra or a string quartet, you're telling them pretty much everything they're going to do. Mm-hmm. So I think it gets more composerly as it becomes more of a non-egalitarian relationship, essentially.
Sure. And then how early was that a process that you really kind of tuned into?
I remember writing like one of the worst Bartok ripoffs I could ever be accused of for violin and piano when I was maybe in my sophomore year. I was already writing tunes for bands, you know, heads to play for like... Mm-hmm. You know, essentially, maybe it didn't sound like jazz, but it looked like jazz. I mean, drums, bass, keyboards, sax, etc. But I do remember at one point thinking, well, I want to write something, that, you know, for violin. And so that was, you know, a college.
Thank you. comes to my mind in hearing your work, and a lot of it is challenging to, you know, in some cases, not that way at all, but in some cases, there's some pretty challenging stuff in there. Do you balance out, you know, where you want the piece to go, and do you ever keep an audience in mind as to, I've talked to other musicians who maybe go through this of like, wow, I'm starting to go this direction, but that's getting a little outside. Maybe I need to bring it in a little bit more because I am writing this for people to listen to. Maybe I'm going too far. Or is that, again, something that a real composer doesn't even consider?
Well, I don't know if it's a real composer, and I think lots of composers could consider their audience. The funny thing about my music, I think, is that, you know, I think it's gets put in a sort of experimental category a lot of times. And then, you know, a lot of it is extremely, I mean, I find myself even sort of hard-pressed to say this, but it's like people think it's going to be weird and they come and they go, oh, you know, I just really love that. And there's a lot of I don't know if I write pretty, but I write beautiful a lot. Mm-hmm. I think that's a strong suit of mine, actually. Yeah, it's one of the few things I feel I do well. And it's because I want to. It's not because I feel I need to. I mean, mm-hmm. that's very important. I mean, I never do that because, oh, you know, well, this will get them. You know, yeah. I don't write that way at all. But a lot of times it's, you know, that's where I'm coming from. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I've had a few projects that have may have been a little more abrasive, but not that many, really. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, for lack of a better word, there's obviously a lot of sort of what is now called Americana, but, you know, American roots music influence in my music, as well mm-hmm. as 20th century classical music and as well as electronic music and as well as jazz and all that. So those things come, you know, they meet in a certain way. I thought you were going to ask me if I have trouble getting my music performed sometimes because it's harder or getting the performance I want.
All right, and let's go with that. That's a good question.
I don't, because I'm always the worst person in whatever band I have. I mean, I've just been so lucky to the players I've gotten to play my music. You know, they're always way ahead of me. And, you know, my strong suit is definitely as a composer, and I've had such just tremendous players play my music. Thank you.
Wayne, how might you compare where you are as a musician at this point in your life as opposed to when you first made, if you made a conscious decision, to make this the direction your life was going to go in? So I guess what I'm doing is I'm kind of finding a roundabout way to ask for what I call the Barbara Walters question. How would Wayne Horvitz sitting here across from me today speak to or kind of reflect with the Wayne Horvitz of, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago?
Or more like 40, really.
Okay, 40.
Well, because I was, you know, went to New York from college. And I went to New York because the people like Cecil Taylor, the Art Ensemble of Chicago, that kind of, you know, very African-American-based avant-garde jazz was sort of the thing I really was particularly, you know, enamored of when I went to New York. I immediately fell in with some of those people, but also a slightly different crowd, a slightly younger, more rock influences. Certainly a lot more white, although the crossover was pretty awesome in the 80s in New York. I mean, the scenes melded. Race is always an issue anywhere in America, but it was, you know, in a lot of ways pretty great how little of that there was. And played with all sorts of people who'd worked in Cecil Taylor's band, which was an incredible thrill for me, and et cetera, et cetera. But then I met people like John Zorn and Bill Frisell, who, you know, also loved that music, but were sort of starting to take a different angle. So, but just to go back a little bit earlier, when I was at college, I didn't have a music major because I started so late. So it was the 70s, I was at UC Santa Cruz, so I designed my own major. And my major, so I got three people in the music faculty to sign on it. And I called my major Composition for New Music Improvisation. And oddly enough, I mean, I was just making up what I felt was some you-know-what at the time that I can't say on the radio just to get to have some stupid name for my major. And if you look at it, it's pretty much what I've spent my life doing.
That is very interesting. I've heard that more than once as far as, like, you know, when you set out to do something, you know, a lot of times you end up doing what you set out to do.
Yeah.
It may not necessarily be the path that's going to bring you riches and so forth.
But, right. And so I don't know. And then, I'm doing now pretty much sort of what I was doing in New York in the 80s. You know, I'm still doing it. I have things that are mostly composed. I have things that are mostly improvised. And I have things that are a combination in between. And I work with, you know, large ensembles and small ensembles. And I keep playing music. So I'll have to tell that to Barbara Walters someday.
WayneHorvitz.com is the name of Wayne's website. As I said earlier, it's a terrific website, very thorough. Should you be so inclined to pull out some scores there and take a crack at some of Wayne's work, you can do that as well as find links to where you can listen to his music, see videos, and find out what he's doing in terms of his many, many projects and as well recording projects, which, as we are speaking today, again, in early October 2018, it's close to a drop. Is it today the drop date?
The Snow Ghost record is the release is today, and the orchestra record is coming out next Friday.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
And the Snow Ghost record, as we call it, records. We're old enough, right, we still call them records. That, again, for our listeners' sake, that has a direct connection to Montana and Whitefish and Brett Allen. Wayne, thanks so much for making time
with
us here on Musician Spotlight. Great that we finally got a chance to sit across from one another and talk some shop.
Good. Thank you.
This is John Floridis. You've been listening to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today has been Wayne Horvitz. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so at the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org, as well as through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us online on Facebook and on Twitter. Our program is available as a podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Special thanks to the Missoula Art Museum for this interview. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.